Good morning. Romans 7:15 through 25a. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I want to do, not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that the good does not dwell within me, that it is in my flesh, for the desire to do good lies close at hand, but not the ability. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that, when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self. But I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells within my member. Wretched person that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Lord our God, it is such a wonderful experience, a wonderful privilege to be with fellow believers in your presence here this morning. Thank you for blessing us with forgiveness. Thank you for providing us with opportunities to sing our praises to you. We thank you for your word. And I know, Lord, that we might not know it, but you do bring us here this morning for a specific purpose. And my prayer is that your Spirit will open our hearts and minds to be receptive for that purpose, that what you want to say to each and every one of us individually and personally, that we will hear that. And so speak to us now. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so did you know that you are part of the most photographed generation in history? With every store you walk into, with every intersection you drive through at the last moment, with every ATM you access, with every family party that you attend, more and more pictures of your beautiful face are being snapped and saved and uploaded to some offshore server. You might as well say, geez. But you know what? The greatest culprit in our photo-obsessed society isn't our friend with her cell phone or Big Brother. It's really us. Because the selfie has become a regular part of our everyday existence. But I just want to make absolutely sure, does everybody here know what a selfie is? It's when you use your smartphone, right, to snap a picture of yourself, usually for the purpose of sharing it on social media. And we all do it all the time, don't we? Slow day at work, well, let me snap a quick pic of my new hairstyle and show it to all of my friends. Trying out a new pair of sunglasses, let me take some shots of myself wearing different pairs and get some instant feedback from my friends. Sitting on the deck with a cool beverage while the sun is going down, enjoying the game from some great seats. Don't just take pictures of the food or the field, no. Snap a selfie and show the world what they'd be enjoying if they were along for the ride. Your beautiful face. So with all that in mind, I guess you could say that what we have here from Paul in today's text is nothing less than a selfie of his own. It's a snapshot in papyrus and ink of how the apostle sees himself. And he's not donning a new haircut with pride or posing with friends at a killer concert. Now, Paul has given us a snapshot of himself that is raw, a look that is unfiltered. And at least according to Paul's own assessment, deeply unflattering. It's as if Paul is looking at himself and saying, dude, I'm really a mess. So here's what he writes in verse 19. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. So Paul's snapshot reveals a man who feels tossed back and forth between what he sees as two forces at work within his heart and mind. He says, I know that I'm in Christ, and because of that, I'm a new creation. I'm no longer defined by that which is corrupt in me. God now sees me as being dressed up in goodness and righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And yet deeply rooted within me remains the power of sin. It still lives in my flesh and bones. And sometimes it rears its ugly head and it draws me from the new path on which God has placed me. Now, according to most estimates, Paul has been following Jesus for some 25 years when he wrote this. So he's not a newbie when it comes to the Christian faith. And so his selfie reveals that he is, despite the gray hair on his head and lines of wisdom on his face, still simultaneously a saint and a sinner. He's righteous in the eyes of God because of Christ. And yet he's broken to the core because of his sin. So I don't know, is that something that you can relate to? When I was serving Faith Church in upstate New York, one of the members there told me a story one time in Bible study. I'm sure you've heard this, but it's about the Native American tale that reminds us of this truth that Paul is expressing here. It's about a Cherokee grandfather who once said to his grandson, there's a battle between two wolves inside of all of us. One is evil. It's anger, jealousy, greed, resentment, inferiority, lies, and ego. The other is good. It's joy, peace, love, hope, humility, kindness, empathy, and truth. And so the boy thought about it, and then he asked, grandfather, so which wolf wins the fight? And the old man replied, the one you feed. The one you feed. I think Paul might agree with that. So when Paul talks about his life and his struggles as a Christian here, he gives us a very, very honest look. And his self-portrait is kind of shocking. I mean, let me ask you, when you take a picture of yourself, or when someone else uses your camera or your phone to take a picture of you, do you ever retake the photo? Do you ever look at it and say, no, I mean, it didn't catch me looking just right. So let's take another one. Have you ever done that? I know I do. And if you're saying, no, I've never done that, then I think you're not telling the whole truth. And you're not supposed to lie in church, remember, right? You're not supposed to lie anywhere. But so you see, we now have our cameras with us all the time. And we can have as many do-overs as we want to. We can have just the right light so that it flatters our appearance. We have all these editing options built right into our phones. You can crop your picture You can put a filter on it. You can retouch it and make it look better. And by doing that, you can present a certain pose and a very particular self to the rest of the world. You can show the world only the good side of you. And no one will ever see anything else, at least not on your Snapchat or Facebook or Instagram feed. But that's not what Paul is doing in this passage. He knew that there's power in the unfiltered assessment of life. There's power for the follower of Jesus in the no makeup, harshly lit selfie that shows every wrinkle. And the power, of course, is that the more honesty I show and the more honestly I can assess my true self, the more honestly I'm willing to look at and admit my deep and continuing brokenness, the more I can see myself for who I truly am, the more heroic and the more grace-filled and the more generous Jesus begins to look. You see, I cannot understand the true heights of God's love for me until I'm able to grasp the radical depths of my own sin and my own brokenness. And Paul knew this. Paul knew that by staring at his unflattering selfie, he was less likely to be fooled by the facade of awesomeness that we all so often present to the rest of the world. And the more beautiful and necessary the love of God and Christ would become. I don't know if you remember his words in 2 Corinthians 12. He said, "I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me." So you see, Paul knew that being transparent was good for him. To be able to see our lives for what they are. To be able to see that we actually need some help. To be able to acknowledge our own flaws and our own shortcomings. To be able to resist the temptation to put up a front that everything is just perfect. To not pretend that we never fall short. And that we don't struggle living God-pleasing lives. Paul's approach was to show the Church of Rome how to acknowledge their own problems. And at the same time, how to overcome them. And so he writes, "Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord." He says, well, you know, I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? And then he says, the answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. So is it maybe time to take a selfie? By the way, when is a selfie appropriate? I mean, when it comes to the act of taking actual selfies, there are, Gene, actually some things to keep in mind. Okay? There are times when it's well and good. And there are times when putting the focus on yourself is not appropriate. So if you're enjoying, a good time with friends or having a blast at the concert, go ahead. I mean, take the selfie. If you're attending a funeral, not a good idea. Just go ask former President Obama about the flak he received. not just from the press, but also from First Lady Michelle as well, when he snapped a selfie with Denmark's Prime Minister during Nelson Mandela's memorial service. So in a spiritual sense, I think it's necessary. I think it's good to take regular selfies of our lives and of our spiritual state. Now, it might be a little unsettling to look at ourselves. It can be unflattering to remove all the filters and the makeup. And so to me, it's very reassuring that in light of Paul's unflattering self-portrait in chapter 7, the words that kick off Romans chapter 8 are unbelievably generous and comforting. And it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It says, those who are in Christ, those who are baptized in Christ's name and who have confessed their faith in Him, are not judged guilty. There's no condemnation for those who live in union with Christ Jesus, for those who belong to Jesus. This is how the Message paraphrase puts it. With the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that faithful dilemma of the two wolves is resolved. Those who enter into Christ's being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous low-lying black cloud, because a new power is in operation. The spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. Think about it this way. No matter how unflattering our own image is, no matter how strong the forces are that pull us and Paul off the path of righteousness, God simply refuses to reject us. So go ahead. I mean, hit the camera icon on your phone and show God the worst. God promises that for those who've been covered in the goodness of Jesus and injected with the power of His Holy Spirit, there will be no words of condemnation. You may disgust yourself, but God, on account of Christ, will not delete your pictures or kick you out of the family. God will continue to call you and me sons and daughters. And so remember this, no matter what that picture shows, the good us, the bad us, the super cute, or the surprisingly ugly us, because of Christ, there is no rejection for us, and there's a better, more powerful force at work in us. The Holy Spirit is at work in us, conforming us more and more into the image, into a picture of Jesus our Lord. So that our lives, our pictures, will look more and more like an image of Jesus and His love. But in the meantime, let us cooperate with God's Spirit and what God's Spirit wants to accomplish in our lives. And may we feed that better wolf that Cherokee Chief talked about. And may we also deepen the joy we have in Jesus by being willing personally and publicly to embrace the truth of our unflattering and unlovable selves. Amen. Before we pray, let's pray. Lord our God, we thank you for your word. Sometimes it's hard for us to truly see ourselves for what we are, for who we are. We so often want to pretend and put a certain image forward for the world around us, for everybody to see. But you know us for who we are. And yet you love us. Thank you for reassuring us today. There's no picture too ugly that you won't love us. Thank you that for those who belong to your Son, there is no condemnation. And so help us to embrace the Spirit, your Spirit, who wants to change us, who wants to conform us more and more into a picture that looks more like your Son Jesus and his love. That is our prayer today. In the name of Jesus, amen.